As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Good morning, Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Welcome to Claudio's Speakeasy, the literary and all else. And now, bringing back the art of the spoken word through narratives and poetry, the Richard Burton of the Triangle, the Richard Helms of Carrboro, our own Renaissance man, storyteller, narrator, author, classical poet, actor, adventurer, photographer, visual artist, European gourmet, chef, and entertainer, and he also washes your cat. The Bard of WCOM, host of Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, here's Claudio.
Somebody unplug that battery. All I was trying to do is avoid a job.
I want to know how you clean the cat. Do you do it with your tongue or do you do it with a soap?
I was
just checking.
That was John DeMers,
hello,
in case
folks.
Anybody wants to know.
This is Claudio Speakeasy, and this is yours truly, Claudio Speaking. Got some good stuff coming up in the studio today. Got John DeMers, the independent film director, as well as a sponsor of Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, Monsieur John Paul. I wanted to mention that the fellow that introduced me so eloquently is John Paul, musician, composer, and on the lamb. We don't know from whom and whose lamb he's
I
on.
I love lamb. Will you cook me some?
I've got one that just arrived at Camp DeMers out of nowhere.
Right. Just make sure the wolves don't get it.
That's we're trying. Right.
Yeah. And we've also got Bob Crowley, who's going to tell us about the upcoming Apex Film Festival.
Well, that's Peak City Film Festival, well, but Peak that's City all right. Film we'll Festival. Let you do that.
It is in the geographical region
absolutely
of Apex.
Absolutely the peak of good living.
Yeah, I'm trying to hear myself through this headset. Hello, Monsieur Jean-Paul.
Now you've got your own volume control.
That's true.
Go for it.
Anyway, so we're going to get into all things film-oriented in just a minute. I think Carrboro's got a film festival coming up as well, both going to be taking place in November. And just wanted to mention, once again, we're quite fortunate to have John Paul on with us this morning. Ah, I can finally hear.
I'm quite fortunate just to be here.
Uh-huh, good. What just happened?
Somebody we just turned
way
this
up.
John turned up the knob.
One, two. Turn me down just a touch there.
I just did the knob job, that's all.
Yes, he just gave the knob a job.
First he asked how I lick the cat, and then, never mind.
I don't know what's going on here.
We're not going there. I want to give a big shout out to the Carolina Theater of Durham, who just became an even bigger sponsor of Claudio Speakeasy. So I'm going to be cutting a promo for you guys later on, so you'll be on Simeon as well as mentioned on my show. Big thanks, Carolina Theater of Durham, folks. If you want to keep up with the independent film scene, they are quite known for it. They've also got the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival coming up and all sorts of incredible live entertainment on stage.
Just to clarify what Claudio means when he says you're on Simeon, it means that you're promo will play automatically several times during the 24-hour broadcast day.
Every day of the week.
Simeon is the automated system that runs the station when nobody is here.
So that we don't have dead air.
So we don't have dead air. Although once in a while, we still end up with dead air. It's a programming issue, I guess.
And some people I know.
And yes. Well, they do a great job, and I'm not complaining.
Glad to hear that.
That's the Helen Keller hour.
That's right.
And then there's the pantomime of radio. Who is that, by the way?
Marcel Marceau, your
well,
former compatriot.
Well, he could qualify now, yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was when you forgot to turn speaking, the pot up.
Speaking of which, I don't think people realize that Marcel Marceau is the one who sold Michael Jackson the moonwalk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people don't seem to know that. In one of our conversations over lunch, Marcel was telling me how he sold that to him for a cool million.
I remember Marcel Marceau doing that on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah, it was part of his History
Way
of the World
long time ago
performance.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really
great
cool.
Piece.
Yeah.
And of course, Michael Jensen. Michael Jackson. Who is Jensen? Jensen, please call us. He did some amazing things with it.
Yeah.
But the walking backwards instead of forwards was the real visual treat to whole thing. And of course, seeing Marcel do it was quite hypnotic as well.
It was.
So anyway, big shout out to Michael Jackson. And can't believe he's gone. Of course,
he was an immense talent.
I think he went to hook up with Marcel to learn some new ropes, and you know, he knew he couldn't do that in this realm anymore.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Anyway.
And now the fighting begins.
Yeah, they've already started.
That's the sad part, really.
But, you know, I mean, I think it's understandable that his mom would file for custody of the kids and that they would start to, you know, try to take control of his estate. I mean, that's only natural.
Well, there's going to be a lot of money made now.
God.
The downloads and everything.
You know, I don't know if that's true because he was deeply in debt.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of cash flow coming. It's starting.
There's
going
to be a lot of cash flowing, but the question is whether it's going to all wash out to anything left over.
Well, and that will be the end of the Michael Jackson hour.
But you got to remember one thing though, and that is he's not spending now.
I hear you. Claudio was trying to hint that we're
hint. That was bloody direct.
Yes, well, I was trying to.
I want to bring on somebody. I'm going to have introduce himself here in a moment. Bob Crowley. I want to say from the Apex Towns Council, but there's really I don't really know how to validate you. So, go ahead, Bob. Say hello to the world.
Hello, world. This is Bob Crowley. Now, not on the town council yet. That's maybe something in the future, but who knows what might happen.
Well, you're all over the place over there. It's hard to figure where you are.
I tend to do a lot of things in and around Apex, and everybody notices it, and we have a good old time doing it. I mean, it is the peak of good living, and we're trying to make it higher and higher all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do next is hopefully going to be a real part of that, and that's the Peak City Film Festival. And we're going to be
and that's coming up in November. Give us a time zone.
Well, the I'm in the middle of it right now, but the public parts will be in November, November 2021 and 22. That's the weekend before Thanksgiving, and there'll be screenings of films and awards ceremonies and flashing lights and searchlights and paparazzi, and we're going to make this thing look like old Hollywood and all this disgusting.
So the turkeys can come out before they get put on the table.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're just gonna go
hooray
for fun.
For Hollywood.
You got
gobble,
it.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Hey, come on. We'll put you on the stage and let you do that. Jump
oh,
on.
Yeah.
Boy, do we have surround sound today?
It's amazing. We
I'm glad we had that installed.
We're set now.
In every one of you.
We got 9.1 in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back to you, Bob.
But it's going to be a real load of fun. John and I have been putting it together. He's playing the role of executive producer, which means he has the checkbook and I don't. And
it's a thin checkbook, but now we've got sponsors, so we're doing something.
There's a lot to that character over there, and we'll introduce him in a minute. But you last time you and I had coffee, you mentioned some interesting little tidbits that I kind of like to make the speakeasy world aware of some things that you're involved in. And I think it just sort of those like Guinness record type things that you never really talk about in public.
I just go out.
I've known you a
stuff.
While. I've never known this about you until that. So give me that thing about time.
Oh, about time.
Time.
Well, what time is it? I will. What time
is it? Who's in charge here?
Do we have time for this?
I don't know.
Well, it shouldn't take too long.
Bob could authorize it.
The story that the Claudio is referring to is I started telling him by asking who owns the calendar.
Aim utterly at the mic, Monsieur Bob.
Absolutely.
There we go.
The calendar originally was the realm of princes and kings, and eventually it became the realm of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And
started
the Pope
out as
and
a
so
sundial.
On.
Well,
right?
Nobody else could read.
Yeah, so. Basically that was it.
Keep your opinions to yourself.
The calendar we now use is the Gregorian calendar, as proclaimed by Pope Gregory in a papal bull called the Inter Gravissimus in 1583, I think it was. It was actually designed by a Ukrainian monk in the 650s. By the name of Dionysius Exesius. Well, after a number of years, as I say, various emperors took it over, and eventually in the 1930s or 40s, it was dropped into the International Standards Organization based in Geneva, the ISO, and became an international standard. The way ISO works is that they put these standards into documents, and ISO document 8601, representation of dates and times, is where you find out how many months are in a year, how many days in a week, how many weeks, how do you calculate dates, times, how you write it down, all that stuff. The ISO then appoints a worldwide editor for each one of their documents, and I just happen to have the honor of being the worldwide editor for ISO document 8601. What this means is that if anybody wants to change anything to do with the way the calendar is represented, how we write dates, how we write times, anywhere in the world, it comes across my desk. I don't make the decision, but I am the one that has to develop the consensus of the worldwide community. For instance, I have a major software manufacturer out there who insists on the fact that they want a 0 year forced into the calendar because it's easier to calculate dates. Mm-hmm. And I have to argue with them that you can't do that. And that's just part of the fun. So,
and so how did you get? How did your number come up? And what part of the sundial aimed at you?
I wish I knew. No, I was involved in standards for electronic commerce. I got involved in the technical committee that actually handles that that document. And eventually, I was appointed as the worldwide editor because the previous editor said, "I'm tired of doing this." And I kind of enjoyed it, and here I am. So now,
so here is. If anybody wants time to go backwards, you've got to consult.
We have the editor of time on the radio with us today.
It was kind of strange. I told my then 7-year-old granddaughter about this once, and she said, I get it. And she did. She understood it. And then looks at me after thinking a moment. She says, "Grandpa, if you run the calendar, how come I got to go to bed so early?" So
now she knows who to blame.
That's just one of the many thousands of things I've done. Yes.
And that's what you get when you ask Columbo about time.
That's it.
So there was another point of interest that I was intrigued by, but I can't remember what that was.
Wait a
right
minute.
Now.
I wanted to make one more comment.
Oh, sure. You have another comment.
On the time issue, does that mean we can call you Grandfather Time?
Why not? I mean, I guess that'll work. I mean, okay. I'm a grandfather of two, so
we'll
just
so
say, we'll say Gramps. There was another thing that I can't remember. Another thing you were part of that.
Oh, I've been part of a number of things. I've been on the U.S. delegation of the United Nations for trade. I've been involved in the development of electronic commerce standards. I've been a marketer. I've worked for steamship lines.
I'm just trying to validate this.
He brought the first Moosehead Lager into the United States.
That's right.
States.
Oh, brought the first Moosehead into the U.S.
Savannah, Georgia.
But none to the speakeasy.
Working with those Canadians, huh?
Yeah. Well, we did that. That's another the story we can go through. And
watch the moose from across that river, didn't you?
I've done a few other things in my time that might be of interest for another show.
He's the guy that's responsible for bringing all that moose urine in the United States.
The moose urine? But anyway, thanks, Bob. I just wanted to give folks a bit of a picture on you.
I've also become your booking agent. I keep sending you people to interview.
That's true. You do that. Yes, it's really been quite a fun thing. So, yes, keep that up. Mm-hmm. Since you have the time thing going, you can make sure it all...
I'll get more time on there. Get you more air time.
So there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
And, of course, we notice he's here today.
Yep.
And it's one of my favorite spices, Tropical Moon. I use it all the time.
And that's John DeMers, and everything. The spice he refers to is my Tropical Moon.
And it is very good stuff. I use it as well.
How did we get a Tropical Moon commercial in here?
I don't know.
He was talking about some of the stuff he's been doing with you and chefing, and I just want people to know that's a fantastic herb spice combination that works on everything.
I thought payola was illegal.
Yeah, really. Is it? Thanks for that. That little shove under the table.
Just
there,
stand near the cacti when you consume it.
So it is. I've used it regularly on all the foods that I've been eating since I got out of the hospital. It really is. It's good. I think it's a wonderful spice.
Thank you. And that's John DeMerson, since we have you on the mic. John, tell us where you're going with today's show.
Well, I'm here supporting Bob Crowley, not physically.
I think John's more the one that needs the physical support.
That would be difficult.
I do.
Matter of fact, give us a rundown on what you've just been through.
I was laying back.
Well, I just learned a month ago I had emergency surgery for a life-threatening illness. I had acute diverticulitis. Apparently, I've had it for 5-plus years, and I just didn't really know what I had. And over the last 18 months to 2 years, it's really taken a toll on me and my business and my health and everything. And it finally got to a point where I couldn't work. And then it got to a point where I nearly had it explode on me. And so they put me in and took it out, part of my colon. And I'm really healing. I'm on the mend now. And I'm able to make appointments 3 weeks and 2 months out from now because I know I won't get sick. And that's that's a big deal. So I'm really grateful.
That's a wonderful thing.
Appreciative to everybody's warm fuzzies and prayers, and to doctors who didn't make me the first surgery at that. So,
fantastic.
Dr. Pilati and Dr. Vallab, who I call Yoda, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Lovely.
Indeed, you do look like.
And
you're
I did this
in
at
recovery
Wake.
At this point.
I did this at Wake. Let me tell you something. I will say another thing about this, and then I'll try to get off the health thing. The only other time I was in a hospital, other than going in for checkups and physicals required for work, I was in the military. I was in southern Italy, down near San Vito de' Normanni, and I was involved in an operation that then ended up having us end up in the hospital because we got hurt, and the base did not have but an infirmary, so we were put in this Italian hospital. Nobody spoke English, and so by the time I came to and I realized where I was in a room with 12 other people with beds separated with cloth, when the doctor took his frock off, put it on the back of the bathroom door and went in, I took the doctor's frock and his credentials, and I left the hospital. I grabbed a cab, and I went back to the base. I said, you can send me to Germany, but you aren't sending me back there. And I say that because that was my impression of hospitals, and so I never really wanted to go into one again. And the experience that I had at Wake Med Hospital and the Cary facility was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I have never been treated with more care and understanding and love and commitment to my healing process in a human medical environment than I got at that place. Every one of the staff, from the guys that were cleaning and sweeping and replacing wet tiles to getting the food orders to responding to my buttons, were stellar.
Fantastic.
So my hat's off to Wake Med.
Well, for a while there, I thought you were a page right out of Stephen King's novel Thinner. Because every time I saw you, you were skinnier than the time before. And for a guy that's over 6 foot, that kind
of...
The willow sways in the wind pretty quickly.
At 6 foot two, I came out of surgery. I weighed 139 pounds.
Good Lord.
So I was... My wife and I commented 2 days later when I took my first shower that I could easily play a cancer patient or a Holocaust victim because it was on the bone.
Easily.
Skin was on the bone. So I'm grateful. That's all changed. I've gained 12, 14 pounds.
No,
I'm
starting to see the reverse
of it
now, which is wonderful.
And when I come back, I'm from a business perspective and just my personal life, I'm just going to be a lion that roars.
Well, since we're talking about health matters, I want to mention my buddy Boy. One of my dogs is a solid white lab, brown eyes, beautiful, a stray that I took in some years ago, who has the most amazing survival spirit. He's had a tumor that I've been trying to remedy for years, and I knew he's getting old now, and he's pretty much at death's door. His body can no longer move much, but he will not die. For some reason, he does not have the will to leave. I have never seen a creature on God's earth so intent on remaining until the last ounce of whatever it is that's still holding him together gives up. But as we speak, sad to say, at home, he's in the process of dying, but it may take another 2 or 3 days. Just an incredible soul, and I'm going to miss the old bugger.
Well, they bring us all a lot of joy.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. They do.
I just want to give a little shout out to my buddy Boy.
Yep.
At home. Hope he's still there when I get back, and if he's gone, at some point I know I'll see him on the other side.
Well, you've made him real comfortable, and
that's about all I can do.
He's getting the best that he can get, I think. So
I still have some Percocet left.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Good. I might need some.
Doggy might appreciate that.
Yes. Anyway, so let's bounce over to you on as regards matters of the film. You've got a movie coming up again, one that you're working on. I know you're still promoting the last one, and I'll let you get into all that.
Yeah, I got sick right in the middle of taking that one to market. That was Will to Power, so we're in the process of working out that distribution deal again.
And let me say again, that just to inform you folks out there, this is John Demers, director, writer, film producer, actor, whatever it takes, independent film. He is of Studio in the Woods, Inc.
Hey, you got it right.
Got it right this time. Amazing.
Good
well, he's here. I guess
yeah,
the pressure.
He's
I always want to go cabin.
Pressure.
But he's also one of the sponsors and underwriters of the Claudio Speakeasy, the Literary, and all else, which you are now listening to on 103.5 FM. And I'm going to let him get back to his spiel about the indie film scene.
Yeah, it's,
and what's coming up in Apex.
It is going on. You know, last year I was here several times with you, Claudio, and we were talking about a project we were working on with an executive producer from Japan, Go Fish. And in doing a lot of research for that project, we were all over Jordan Lake, Apex, New Hill. We really were, finding all these wonderful locations for this film about bass fishing. And then, of course, Goro's father became very ill in Japan, and he needed to return home and
right.
take care of a father dying. And so I was getting sick, and so it just that stopped. Well, in the process, during this time I was ill, I really wanted to find out, you know, okay, I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to get well. What do I do once that happens? What's my next project? I had one finished, but I needed to start something. And so we came up with an idea for a Mobisodic television series that would air on Saturday mornings. And the show concept is the Rusty Bucket Kids Club, and the pilot we're working on is the Rusty Bucket Kids Club Adventure of the Dark Glasses. And think of this as the Back to the Future meets the History Channel. This is going to be an adventure. It's going to have history in it.
Fictional facts and factual fictions, yes.
That's exactly right. And the whole idea is to draw young people into wanting to learn more about historical figures from our past, and to find the magic and adventure in playing and in imagination.
So the whole premise is children meeting other famous legends as children.
Yes. You could imagine someone like a Thomas Edison or a Helen Keller as a young teenager running into some kids that have traveled back in time to help them realize that life can be difficult as a young teenager and as a young person, but that, you know, you kind of have to go on. Partly because you never know what you're going to do in life. Your life may be that one spark or have that one moment that really is a catalyst for the world. And so there's a message to this. We've got a PhD who's a part of our production team who has quite a background in education. I'm using Simon Barron Productions from Los Angeles to come to North Carolina to Apex.
Hello,
to
Simon.
Do the production work. Yep.
Hey, Simon.
And then Kevin Robert McDermott, who is the talent coach for a number of very successful actors and children's shows in California, will relocate here during the production as well. And what will happen is I'll direct, Kevin will direct, and Michael Corbett out of Yanceyville, who's the director of the Piedmont Community College Film Video Production Technology Program, he's going to come on board and be responsible for the director photography slot as well as one of the directors for one of the episodes. And we'll rotate the three directors around because we'll do a pilot that'll be 60 minutes and then it'll go into weekly 30-minute shows. We've got a unique business paradigm, which I won't go into here because it's still pretty confidential and we're still taking it out into the business place, and we want to be leaders in it rather than followers, and so we're going to be first. But the story premise and concept works on a model, this much I'll say, in that we'll use local actors, local crew,
wonderful,
local facilities for post-production, and it'll be really focusing on, just like you have here in Carrboro and even in Apex, grow local, buy local, go local. In other words, if you can find... That's how we're going to save our country. We're
absolutely
not going to save it
that's
by going and buying from huge megalopolis companies that are just part of the problem.
To heck with this corporate consciousness. Let's think local.
It's exactly right. And the corporate consciousness will follow along with that because...
Because they have to.
That's where the money is. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be from the people doing work.
Instead of being led by them, let's lead them.
Right. So I'm really... I'm delighted with what we're doing with this with the Rusty Bucket Kids Club. It's going to help local businesses. We're going to use real locations that are real businesses that are privately owned so that we can get the rights to shoot there and get the rights to their business names. So it's going to be good for the local community as well. So we're really jazzed about that. We've gotten our treatment written. Business contracts have gone out to the production team, and so they're starting to come back in this week, and then we're going to start putting out contracts to talent and get those in place, and then the business plan is finished and being reviewed out by our business consultants in California. And if it comes back and we get the good mark, then we'll be out raising the funds for it, and then we'll go into production.
Fantastic.
Very early fall in one of three ways. Either we'll do a pilot plus four episodes, or we'll do a pilot plus 26, or we'll do a pilot plus 72 episodes. But the pilot plus 72 will run us about 19 months worth of work. Because we'll just be working back-to-back, taking vacation breaks.
Well, I'm hoping to be a voice in this when the time comes.
Well, you actually are. There's no question. You and I have been in discussions about this for quite some time. The role of the guardian, who is our sort of overseer to this oracle that the two young children find, the 11-year-old and the 8-year-old. The characters are John Coleman and Roxana, are their character names, and they basically stumble across this old antique postal bag in an old rail yard
that has been abandoned. And, of course, what we're using is the Bonzel train in...
The New Hope Valley Railway.
That's right. Now, see, Bob,
which Bob runs.
Right, Bob.
Well,
Bob's,
I don't run it. I'm the corporate secretary, and that's about it.
Oh, so
there's a
I
lot of people.
I thought you ran the choo-choo.
No. There's a lot of people that that do that. I'm not just
I
one
see.
Of many.
Oh.
See, they're going to think after they watch you in the pilot, Claudio, that you run the choo-choo.
I see.
So,
yes, good,
once again,
let's
it's just
give
the magic.
That impression.
That's right. That's right.
Let's just stop a car from hitting it in the side. That's a funny little moment.
So yeah. Again, that's using again local locations. But they stumble across this postal car. They find this postal bag. They open it up, and then there's an oracle that was written in previous years. And then the children find these dark glasses. They put the glasses on. They can now read the oracle. And what they find is by reading it, they're actually transported in time and in a unique way, because it's the train that comes to life and then hauls them down the track and actually then goes through a time portal and takes them to where they're going back in history for that week's episode.
It's amazing, because I've always loved movies that had trains in them.
Oh, well, this one's got it. And of course, then you're the guardian who has been with the gentleman that wrote this document, these oracles. You were there when the train left in 1929, you knew that the train had crashed, and yet you're also there in present day when the oracle resurfaces, and so you're sort of our catalyst there. So yeah, it's kind of exciting. I'm looking forward to your voice and for your talent in the project.
Thank you, and I'm feeling well, and so is Elvis.
Yes, he is. We'll go back. Maybe we'll go see Elvis. I don't know.
That's an idea.
Hey, there's an idea. Why not pick on anything you want?
Elvis when he was 12.
I'm hoping to involve with you in collaborating in some of the writing of this. So
there we go.
I'm looking forward to this. Bob, let's bounce over to you, since we touched on a train that you are very much a part of.
I'm very much a part of. Like I say, I don't run it.
It's the
New Hope Valley Railway, North Carolina Railway Museum at Bonzel. And we're operating this coming Sunday, if you feel like coming out there.
All right.
First train is at 11, last train is at 4, around every hour and 15 minutes in between.
Explain to us what route you take there.
Well, it's an old railroad. The railroad was originally built in 1905, 1906 as the Durham and South Carolina Railroad. And we now own 4.5 miles of it, so we operate it. A 9-mile round trip takes just about an hour. $9 for adults, $6 for children.
Very nice.
If you go to the website, nhvry.org. NHVRY.org, so you can write it down.
Good.
And you'll be able to find out all sorts of things about it. From there's maps, there's details, there's pictures, there's all kinds of good stuff. And we have a lot of fun. Anytime we operate, we get about 1,000 people that'll show up. And there's a bluegrass band playing, there's concessions for food, there's a gift shop, yeah. There's all kinds of fun stuff happening out
good
there.
Good old Apex.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let me, while we're thinking about this, or at least while I am,
sure.
Mention any kind of contact information or websites people can go to in relation to the independent film scene, as well as anything else you want to promote at this point.
The film festival itself is the big thing that I'm looking to promote, and I'm told...
Peak City Film Festival.
Peak City Film Festival, and if you go to, peakcityfilmfestival.org, and I say eventually because we're just, for some reason,
there's some confusion. I'm there's a switch somewhere on the
website,
hosting site that I need to open, because I go on there and I see it.
He sees it,
but nobody else is seeing it. And
it's
so
like
I've
being
got
on that train.
Yeah, you know, once I enter my password and I'm there, I see it so clearly. I'm mm-hmm. So now I'm trying to figure out how to make that available to everybody.
That's on page
like
3
Facebook.
Of the Oracle.
I just realized yesterday that people would say, well, we can't find you on Facebook. And I'd say, well, I'm a member of this or a member of that. And they'd go and they'd say, but we don't see you. And I realized you got to go into Facebook and allow people to see you. It's like, well, how can you sign up for something? And then you still got to go say, I want it to be public.
I think you've written yourself too far into this Oracle script.
I have.
Maybe so.
I need to travel back in time.
But speaking of Facebook, there is a Facebook page for the Peak City Film Festival, so you can be able to pick up information from there. And
how do they get to that?
Just go to Facebook and do a search on groups for Peak City Film Festival, and you should be able to see
it's
it.
It's the first one.
The first one there, and there should be all kinds of information. The call for entries goes out the end of this week, or certainly by Monday at
the
latest.
And what's required for that?
What's required?
DVD format, I
DVD
know.
Format. You have to have made the film and have all the rights to do it and want it exhibited and want it juried into the competition, and maybe you win a great award. We'll
and
take.
What's the fee on this? I'm sure
there are a number of fees, and that'll all be on the the website there, because it depends on when you get it in, what type of film, and so on. We'll take feature-length films up to 90 minutes. We'll take shorts, and we'll take mobisodes, and I bet you everybody knows exactly
Explain
what
it,
a
Lucy.
Mobisode. A mobisode is simple. Mobile episode. Someone did a study.
Just open your camera out the window and drive down the road.
If you have a handheld device.
You got a mobisode.
You can all...
I'm sorry.
I wish you folks were in the studio right now. The format says a mobisode is up to 7 minutes, because somebody figured out that's about the amount of time people will actually pay attention to a handheld device.
Mm.
So there we go. That's a mobisode.
Gotcha.
But if you got a music video, that's fine. If you've got a locally produced TV commercial, that's fine too. The hook, everything is general audience only.
Right.
It's a little different.
I know one thing that you're encouraging, although this is certainly not a must, is you'd like to get some local materials.
Absolutely. The more local materials we get, actually, the better it is. The call for entries goes out internationally. We'll take films from anywhere, literally around the world, as long as they're in English, or at least have English subtitles, because we want to see what's being said.
Yes.
But anything that's out there, it can be a student film, it can be an independent producer, it could be somebody that says, gee, you know, I've always wanted to make this little documentary about my kids with my video camera. Fine, make it and enter it. What the heck? I mean, you never know. It might actually get someplace, or at least get some play on the screen. Anybody and everybody, and I think, Claudia, didn't you say you wanted to enter a film?
I intend to enter, yes.
Oh, my God.
With the mayor of Lizard Lick of all
The mayor
all
of Lizard Lick. Claudio, the mayor, and a pile of lizards.
I'm
going
to have him explain to us how the place got its name and all that. He's a real wit.
We're back
sort
with
of
that
a,
cat and that lick thing again.
Yeah, there we go.
He loves licking things. It's going to be a real blast. I'm having a ball with this. We're going to do some events leading up to it, music and art events, and
sounded like you were making the actual event, the evening of the event or of the award ceremony, the next best thing to Hollywood.
We're going to do it. We've got the Halle Cultural Arts Center of Apex will be the likely venue for that. We'll have a red carpet. We'll have a velvet ropes. We'll have paparazzi. I'm going to get somebody to do red carpet interviews as if it was Joan Rivers. We got maybe sweeping searchlights and white limousines anyway, delivering people to the door, black tie, the whole thing. Think of everything that you ever imagined about Hollywood and got disgusted by it. We're going to have it just for the fun of it.
Just for that.
It's going to
Plus,
be
Plus, you're establishing all sorts of viewing spaces. Give us a
we
little
rundown
on that.
We are working on viewing spaces. The Halle Cultural Arts Center will likely be one place we'll be screening. We've also engaged... still have one person to talk to, but we're trying to engage the parish hall for the Apex United Methodist Church, because they have a facility that will seat 400 people.
That would be helpful.
And it's wonderful. I've been in there, and their sound reproduction and video projection equipment is without par.
Fantastic.
It's right up there at the top. And we're looking for some other venues. And we've got a mascot, even a big old raccoon.
That's right.
Cruiser raccoon. He'll be out there, or she, or whatever, just up and down the street.
And it won't be Bob.
People. It won't be me. I don't fit the costume.
Well, and every independent film needs a perfect crew.
Absolutely,
this is true.
And this is our crew. We may put Claudio in the costume just one day and see what happens.
I'll go
either
from
that or Jean Paul. I don't know.
Go from there, Jean Paul. I'll do it.
Yeah,
I dress up good.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Got to be better than the way you look now.
Yeah, it's got to be.
All he's got to do is put the mask on.
Nothing could be this bad.
Heels and pumps don't do you justice, let me tell you.
Oh, stop it.
There you go. That's
you savage.
And we are in Carrboro, remember, folks.
Yes. Again, want to mention to everybody, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else on 103.5 FM, here in the studio with my co-host, John Paul McClellan.
That's us.
Who just fell off the banana boat and don't know what he hit on the way down.
And by the way, I just want to mention that I've been married for 39 years
to the same
woman. I have two daughters, two grandchildren, one on the way, so that'll be three.
What does this have to do with falling off the banana boat?
I don't believe that allowing same-sex marriage will have any effect whatsoever on my marriage. There is absolutely no threat to my marriage by
I believe he just stole a Segway. Wait a minute.
Same sex marriage.
Been smoking
well, somebody mentioned somebody. We were pretending. You know, we were playing with the gay thing,
mm-hmm.
and I am appalled at how you know people have reacted to, especially in the government, to the gay marriage thing. People have a right to marry whoever the hell they want to.
Well, when you get George, Barack, Obama, Bush, that's what you get, baby.
That's what we got.
And that's what we got. Now, we're here to talk about film festival. Heck with the politicians. Put them in a dumpster.
Well, I just couldn't help it. I had to... Had
make
to
a film about it. That would be a perfect statement.
He had
dragging,
to get out of his
dragging the politicians to the local dump. Make a movie about that.
Make sure it's suitable for general audience.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen, brother. Right. Go for it.
All right. Done with that subject. So let's go back to the Apex Film Festival.
Well, like I say, we're gonna do that. I'm talking to some folks about even doing a fashion event, the Peak City Style. We'll see what that looks like there.
I'm trying to figure out who you're going to get for this Joan Rivers interviewer type. I'm wondering if Sherry's up for the game. Seems to me like she might be able to pull off something.
That's a possibility, but I've also got a couple of local actresses that are talking to me about doing things. Apex has got a fairly active arts community. We have the Apex Arts Council, of which I'm vice president of many other things. We have a writers' guild. We have a theater group. We have a community band. We've got... all sorts of visual artists running hither, thither, and yon, doing visuals on anything that'll stand still long enough to be painted upon.
But if you can't find a Joan Rivers type to insult the audience out there, get to Edith Bunker.
I may do that.
Archie!
Stifle yourself there.
Archie!
Yeah, we'll do something like that.
What's the movie you made today?
But we're gonna have a blast doing this. This is gonna be the biggest thing that's hit the area.
And, how's Apex responding to this?
Apex is responding extremely well.
Matter of fact, you were talking to a police officer last time I connected with you.
I was talking to a police officer, and he's actually talking about doing a film.
So, and the way he looked at me, I figured, okay, this is it.
Yeah, that might be. Well, I could arrange that. You know, next time you're in town.
That's right.
But I had a meeting with the town manager and the director of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources. There's a mouthful for you.
Yes.
And they are absolutely in favor of it. They're willing to do, within reason and the law, of course, virtually anything they need to do to make this happen and help us along. And I'm very grateful to them for that. Thanks, Bruce. You're doing good for us there. Everybody, the Merchants Association is behind it. We've got everybody all hyped up. You walk down Salem Street and people want to talk about it all over the place.
Fantastic. I'm sure it's getting around.
The Rusty Bucket, SoCo's, the Anna's Pizza, Rhea, Peak City Grill, Oceana's, everybody, Salem Street Bar, everybody wants to get involved.
Sure.
Wonderful. Yeah. And that's what the whole community idea should always be about. It seems like we've just sort of slipped away from that consciousness by having gone so corporate and thinking that these corporations are actually looking out for us, and then years later finding out that they've done nothing to look out for us.
Well, that's one of the things we're trying to do with the film festival and with the Rusty Bucket Kids Club.
Ruckety Buckety? Rucky Busted?
My denture slips.
That's what happens when the train hits a bump, folks.
There you go. The idea is that we want to do this as local as possible. We want to make sure that if we've got to buy something, we're going to try and buy it in Apex. It's only if we can't find it there that we'll move it to someplace else. Not that we're trying to be xenophobic or we're so close-minded, but we think that that's good for that economy. The other towns around, hey, we're going to do some events around for
them,
too.
Excellent.
Carborough's been doing it for years.
Sure.
It's good for everybody's economy to do as much as you can locally. Cuts down on pollution, supports the local economy. And it changes the world. If you do that locally, you change the world.
Yep. Sure. And this can only grow. I'm fond of telling a story about being in Telluride, Colorado in 1967. And Telluride in 1967 was an interesting place. There's actually more going on at midnight Sunday morning in Apex today than there was at high noon on Wednesdays in 1967 in Telluride. Yeah. The town was about 600 people.
Minute.
If you wanted to stay overnight, you went down a side street to the local rooming house. There was one theater, and that was on the verge of being condemned. Now you go out there, it's 60,000 people. There's 30 movie theaters in town. There's a Ritz-Carlton, a Hilton, a Sheraton. There's ski lodges in the mountains. Why? They started a film festival. Well, hey, let's do it.
Fantastic.
And we'll just do it up the right way. Maybe this will work. Maybe it won't. Maybe we'll be a small film festival. There's over 700 film festivals in the United States today. It's better than two a day.
They draw people and they draw the economy. And the fact that it's open, it's not that it doesn't cut off and use only the elite, as Hollywood does, makes it a lot more generous, sure. Just publicly speaking.
Are we going to get the A-list Hollywood celebrities? I'd love it.
Oh,
I think
sure
that would be
one
wonderful.
Can you say Jerry Mathers?
There we
yes.
Go.
Beaver.
Yes, yes.
Beaver.
He's going to be there, the beaver himself.
Wait a minute. If we got a beaver, is the raccoon going to chase him?
Well, we may do that. We may have a little scene between the beaver and the raccoon.
Well, that's
that
actually could be a cute idea.
Down Main Street.
That could be, we'll have to put that in the book.
We'll have to get the hounds out.
On the other hand, I would like to go to the awards gala with Heidi Klum, but, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Well, they have a blow-up doll version.
Yeah. Well, I tell people, if you don't ask, you don't get, so what the heck?
That's true.
Heidi?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, Heidi, I'm waiting for you.
And he's going to keep waiting.
I'm waiting.
It's a long wait.
He'll be at Common Grounds Coffee Shop.
Yeah, waiting.
He'll be sitting there waiting.
He'll be buried in the cemetery grounds.
And if you're in Apex,
or the coffee grounds,
to go.
They'll have a little sign that says, "Here I am, Heidi."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, most people in Apex will know that that tends to be my office. If you come to Apex in the virtually any afternoon during a weekday, and go to the Common Grounds Coffee House, you'll usually find me sitting in the back eating a brownie and poking at my computer.
There's a chair with a big butt print in it, and that's
I'm at SoCo Studios.
And he's at SoCo, and I'll be at SoCo now and again.
Which is how far?
About a block.
Yeah, okay. It's right there on Salem Street, which is Main Street.
Wait a minute. Say SoCo what?
SoCo is a co-working facility. It's a large office, has all the facilities that you might find in an office, from computer printers to wireless to telephones to fax to whatever, only you don't have an assigned spot. You pay a certain amount for a month. You can go in there, and whatever desk or table or whatever is open, you plop down and do it, and everybody kind of works together and cooperatively works. It's a great system.
Cool.
I just want to tell Bob that he can't speak without moving his hands. I think the guy's two-thirds Italian.
I grew up in an Italian neighborhood, even though I am Irish.
I'm telling him that when he listens to the archive, he's going to hear a lot of percussionary movements.
What are you going to do? You grow up in New York City, whatever.
Bring the pasta.
That's just the way it is, eh?
Bring me the pasta.
I grew up essentially northern New Jersey.
New Jersey.
And the streets at Times Square. I was one of those kids your mom said stay away from.
Went up to Toity Toity Street.
Yeah, you go in.
I've always been convinced by that Jimmy Buffett line, "We are the people our parents warned us about."
Yeah, that's it.
I know I am.
I was.
That's right.
Used to sit in Times Square and have coffee.
So, John, what else you got to throw into the pot of the stone soup that we're having?
Well, I mentioned earlier, and I really am trying to figure out what to do, but a lamb or a sheep has
shown
up.
Glad I asked you to come on.
A lamb or a sheep showed up at Camp Demers. And
are you serious?
Yeah, I put it up on Facebook, my Facebook page, because I'm where's Bo Peep? I need to know what to do with
you. You have a sheep?
So it just wandered in?
Yeah. Yeah, he just showed up, had a yellow rope around his neck.
Well, obviously somebody's...
Well, I got educated by Bob that he thought that probably there were some folks from south of the border that had acquired this lamb maybe for Cinco de Mayo.
Mm.
And when you look at him, you can tell he's half shaved. He's been half cleared and shaved, getting ready for a...
For a
festivity.
Well, he could have been clipped for his wool, too. And
well, but
not
only
finished.
Half. So we figured somebody was starting to drink beer when they started to cut it, and then they fell out.
I figured
the lamb said, "I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm chewing the rope, and I'm out of here."
Let me say this.
He chewed the rope, and now he's all over our yard, and it looks like we have blueberries all over the sidewalk.
I think it's pretty funny that he would be all over your yard with the wolves in the pen there. And
but
everything.
See, wolves don't bark. They're not saying anything.
No,
they just want him. Give him to us.
You would think the lamb would smell them or something.
They're quiet.
Let me get a bird in here. I was going to say,
okay,
if you do not find your show. Details. If you don't find a home for the fellow, I was just making room on my land for some goats, so a sheep is welcome.
Actually, I thought he was a goat until I got educated and learned that it wasn't a goat, he was a sheep. So
they said, that's bad.
Bad. You guys are terrible. But no, so we're just trying to figure out what
if
to
you
do.
Don't find a home for him. I'll take him.
Yeah, well, how are you going to get him? I mean, I want to see him.
Oh, you mean he's just wandering?
Yeah, well, no, there's still a rope around his neck.
That helps.
We haven't actually been able to take it off, and then we had an opportunity to, and we decided not to, because we thought if we need to catch him, then we'll have a way to catch him.
Yeah, well, that's true. Okay.
But at the same time, he's made his nice home there at the front porch of our house.
He comes up
during the heat of the day in the shade and sits on the cool porch. And then just goes out and keeps the lawn trimmed so my wife doesn't have to
just
cut
be careful
it.
About bending
that is
over.
Pretty cool.
Be careful about bending over. There are some that have the nature of a ram. I know this from a friend of mine. A friend of mine tricked me in South Africa.
I'm still healing. I don't bend over. I still have a cut that I'm healing.
That's kind of why I'm warning you.
Now that you mentioned that, I have to tell you the little story about the goat that I had when I grew up.
Oh, okay, okay.
We got a goat. We lived in Jacksonville, Florida, 8 miles from the beach. And we raised chickens, and we had, you know, our own eggs, and we ate chickens, you know, fresh chickens. We'd slaughter them ourselves. We got a goat.
What, and you left the eggs?
No, we ate the eggs. We juggled the eggs. No, we got this goat, and the goat was had of course a proclivity to butt people. Mm-hmm. So I decided, well, I think I will have some fun with this, and so I put on my football helmet. And I went out in the yard, and I started challenging the goat with my football helmet. And we used to have headbutting contests out in the yard. The goat would just rear back and boom, plow right into my head.
This is beginning to explain
the football
some
helmet,
things.
And this explains a lot about my mental state, as it were.
And your you guys rammed each other.
And your physical appearance, I can
tell.
Yes,
and my physical appearance, yes.
Well, you never know where the conversation goes.
I see what
goes
that impression on your skull
see
is.
See that great big dent I have up there? Yeah,
it makes
that's
sense.
Where that comes from.
That's like Billy Mays. You know, he's got a hard head. Bad heart, but he had a good hard head.
So that's our fun with goats story. Thank
he
you
was formerly
much.
Known as Goat Boy, people.
Yes.
That was until he fell off the banana boat. And I still don't understand that segue. Here I'm telling people you just fell off the banana boat, which you mistook for last night's bed after leaving the pub, and you go into this 39-year marriage.
Well...
Where was the segue
button
on that? You got
to do something in the interim.
Oh, okay. That yeah.
He was smoking the bananas.
That's what it was.
I tried
actually,
that
I understand
I
they're
kid.
A good rapper.
I tried that. I was about, I don't know, I was probably 19 when I tried the banana thing.
Mm-hmm. The spleef.
Yeah, it was.
Did it work?
It was obviously stupid. But
spleef, splife, flow, flum, what... Here we go. Forget it. Moving what else right do we along. Want to mention about the indie film? Because we're getting close to it being John Paul's hour of truth or consequences, or actually...
Truth or consequences.
Well, we are suffering the consequences of a lack of truth.
Yes, indeed. Speaking.
I am going to do a few things on the show today. One, I'm going to talk about this official 9/11 FEMA photographer.
Give him the name of your show since I just ruined
it. John Paul's Truth Quest and Variety Hour.
See, doesn't that sound like it?
I can dance and juggle.
So, well, one of the things I'm going to talk to today is about the official videographer of the U.S. government at 9/11, a guy named Kurt Sonnenfeld, who has come out now with an account of 9/11 and the aspects surrounding it, which are quite shocking. Also, I'm going to talk about the second IDF soldier who refused to serve over violence towards Palestinians. In other words, he told the IDF he's not going to go kill people in Palestine. And then I'm going to also talk about the difference between Judaism and Zionism, as reported by a Jewish gentleman by the name of G. Neuberger. And in addition to that, I'm going to talk about an extremely important issue. The title of the article I'm going to be reading is "The Confessions of an ex-peak oil believer."
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who has written a paper about the truth about oil, and it's very, very surprising. It turns out oil is not made from decayed animals. It is not, and the Russians proved this in the 70s, and that's why they have been so successful at finding oil. They have a record of 6 out of 10 oil explorations coming through, whereas the average before that has been 1 out of 10. The fact that they've been so successful with this proves that their theory is correct. I'll be talking about all
and
this.
And that's going to be on John Paul's Truth and Variety Hour.
That's right.
Coming up right after
the
speakeasy.
And as I always say on my show, people... seek the truth.
Yeah, man.
Indeed, man.
That's true.
And speaking of that, you two people here in the studio, please tell me the truth about something else.
Tell you the truth about something else.
About something
I'd blow my whole image if I did that.
Yeah, really, we can't have that.
Are we missing anything coming up on your end there, John?
Well, you know, the one thing I've
just to mention very quickly again, I have John Demers, the independent film producer, director, actor, as well as Bob Crowley. And what credentials shall I add to you?
Oh, you can say just about anything you want about me.
Man on the moon is here.
I do just about everything that you can imagine, from run software companies and marketing companies to organizations to, hey, I'm vice president of the Apex Kiwanis. Does that mean anything?
Just like me, anything to avoid a job.
I used to be in Key Club in high school.
Oh, goody. Come on back and join.
Well, back to John.
Now, what I was going to point out is when the first press release went out, I guess a couple of weeks ago on the Peak City Film Festival, Bob put it out. That's part of his responsibility and his job with the festival. But I was, still recovering from having just left the hospital, and my wife left for 3 days, 4 days to take my children or our children to camp, and so people were calling the house phone, emailing. Even a gentleman stopped by my house he tracked my address down because he wanted to be involved with Peak City Film Festival. And one of the things I really garnered from all those phone calls and emails, and even from the gentleman that stopped at the house, was that there are a lot of very creative people out there with some really, really catchy ideas.
I always liked that about Apex.
And they just need to go out and do it. And it just makes me feel good that there are a lot of creative ideas with a lot of ability to produce content. And I think we're going to be able to really change how Hollywood works and get content made that is going to be produced locally, shown locally, and economically help locally. And we'll get rid of that Hollywood business model real fast.
I think it needs to go. It's just absolutely a waste of time. Plus, they don't come up with anything original. It's all formulaic. No,
it is. It is formulaic.
Totally nauseatingly predictable.
So we're going to get out of that. And I'm encouraged by it because everybody that I talk to about the Rusty Bucket Kids Club or the Peak City Film Festival, they get it. It makes a lot of good sense. They want to be involved.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. And I've been getting the same thing. We've got people coming up.
You've had plays being submitted or things for filming.
People pitching scripts to me. And
yeah, right.
Telling them, I'm the producer of the film festival. I don't make films. I just do this, But, I want to talk to you about
it. Yeah, but you'd love this one.
Well,
let's bring your movie to me.
I had a fellow on the phone the other day who wouldn't let me off for the better part of an hour telling me about this wonderful documentary. I'm saying, enter it. I want to see it. No, let me tell you about it.
We know you want to tell us about it.
Yeah. Yes. It actually sounded mildly interesting anyway, and I'd kind of like to see it, but yeah. I can't listen to it. I want to hear it, to see it.
Indeed.
So.
Right.
Send it in.
Yep.
Yes, we do not produce them here. You must produce them yourselves and bring them.
Well, now, is there a website? Is there a phone
number? There is a website.
Go ahead and give us that again.
Will be fairly soon. You can go to www, of course, peakcityfilmfestival.org.
Just www, of course, peakcityfilmfestival.
Of course, take the of course out.
Oh, we take the of course out? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's give them that again slowly.
www.peakcityfilmfestival, all run together as one word, .org. That'll do
it. Right. And the phone number?
There's really not a phone number yet.
Don't call people. There's no phone number.
You can also email info@peakcityfilmfestival.org, and that email goes directly to Bob.
Yep.
peakcityfilmfestival.org.
Yep, and it'll take you right there, and there'll be all kinds of wonderful stuff. And
let's say that one more time.
peakcityfilmfestival.org. Say it three times.
He thinks he's a blooming conductor.
I mean, it won't be too long, and Tropical Moon will be one of the sponsors
right.
of the Peak City Film Festival.
Very pleased to hear that.
We're going to get a lot of them.
Indeed. Yeah. Speaking of, this is my segue to ask you, because I'm always curious, and we've been kind of out of the loop, and I know you came and visited me
blur of a moment.
I was just going to say, I have no concept of when, who, or how, but I know
you
came to see me. But what are you doing? I mean, I know you've got the radio show. You've got stuff going on. What's happening with you these days? What's the next? I mean, I know you want to work with me, and I'm looking forward to
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But you said you're working on goats, and so what all's going on
I'm
with
not
you?
Working on goats. I thought I'd open up my place to them. I've got woods that need clearing.
He's going to borrow my football helmet.
He's going
himself.
To use the goats.
I'm going to let him use my football helmet.
I've got a place they can graze endlessly.
But
I'm working on a couple of novels as well as a collection of short stories. On the home front. As a matter of fact, the collection of short stories is almost done, and once I'm done with the script, I'm going to see if I can get my friend Ray Bradbury to bless it somehow.
Oh, good.
Since he was one of my inspirations in life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful.
And I think I remember telling you years ago when I began working on an actual novel script for Seafarers.
You did.
Sort of where the poetry becomes sort of supplemental, and there's just a whole story of an adventure between a first mate and a captain that
That could work well. We've got a lot of ships on the coast.
I've
that
written the opening three chapters, and it's well on its way. Just sort of every inspirational moment I get, I go to one of those three works and continue them. Plus, I want to record some material that I just recently sent your way.
I listened to that. Was I supposed to do something beyond listen to it? I did listen to it, and I liked it.
I'm talking to David Henderson, who is one of Ira David Wood's key directors, to direct me for the stage in it. And it looks, I'm hoping, I don't want to jump the gun and say anything, but it seems very positive we're going to get together. He's coming on next week, as a matter of
not next week,
2 weeks from now.
David's great.
Ira David Wood, yeah.
Both Davids are very good.
We've had him on before. And
Ira has asked me to bring it back to Theater in the Park, so I want to stage it there again, which is where I launched it.
We got to get David, Ira David Woods
back. I'll twist his arm again at some point.
Yeah, he was a fun guest.
Yeah,
I'll get him. He and I need to do a lunch soon. He wanted to, and I was sick.
We should do a combined one.
I wasn't willing to eat.
Let's do a luncheon.
And then, of course, there's the television chef thing that I've been offered to work with, and I'm not going to say too much about that. But
if it doesn't start soon, I'm going to do it.
That's not a bad idea.
We're talking about a Sunday morning talk show in which I'll have my regular spot, 3 minutes of Chef Claudio. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of that. I'm not holding my breath presently, but I'm hoping that comes about, and I won't say more than that, and I will inform if it does come about.
Do the pilot and enter it in the film festival.
Pilots can't cook.
Actually, I knew one of the Port of New York who could.
Uh-huh.
Pilots aren't even allowed in the galley. I'm sorry.
No, thanks. Go run your own ship. So is it time for us to wrap here, John Paul, since we are getting close to your show?
We have a few minutes, and since it's my show, we will just transition right to it.
The next one.
I want to ask another question then.
Thanks.
Who's the most recent musical? I've been out of the loop for six, seven weeks. Who was the most recent musical artist you've been listening to or you're turned on to?
Well, the most recent thing we did.
We had Jocelyn Ellis.
Who is really, really talented young
wonderful woman, in her 20s.
Goes to school in Charlotte.
In Charlotte, yeah.
And has been doing music for, I guess, her whole life.
Did the musical accompaniment to the recent performance of Bell and Dance Company with Anjanae Bell,
who we had on before.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So
and,
you're
and
okay.
That's how we got turned on to Jocelyn.
And not so long ago, I interviewed Clay McClinton. He did a call-in, who is the son of Delbert McClinton. The only reason I point to that is because I finally got the straight scoop about who taught John Lennon how to play harmonica. And he was telling me that back in the days, I forget exactly what year it was, but Delbert McClinton, his father, was performing in England.
Right.
And the Beatles, who were not famous back then, were opening for him. And it was while hanging out in the green room that Delbert taught John Lennon how to play the harmonica.
Well, man.
Showed him a few things, and then Lennon just took off with it.
Yeah, but I mean, those are always fun stories. You don't really hear that anymore.
So there's no telling who comes on the speakeasy.
Yeah.
I have you guys as a resource, so it's becoming endless.
We need to find out a way to get Jerry. Can we do phones hookups?
Yeah, we can.
Well, the next time we come, let's get Jerry to call him.
If he's listening now, it's 919-929-9601.
He's not listening to you.
919-929-9601.
But I may cut
somewhere in China. Yeah, thanks.
Call us, people.
And if I get my wish, I'll ask Heidi to come on too.
Yeah,
hello, Heidi.
There's a song for that called Dream.
Dream. Yeah, that's the one.
We're just testing audio, folks. Sorry.
That was
the Sensoround sound coming at you once more from the speakeasy.
I appreciate you answering my questions, Claudio. Hmm? I like asking you stuff, so thank you for letting me.
My pleasure. I hope I answered something there.
You did. Between you and John Paul.
Between me and John Paul, I wasn't sure which voice was mine.
You may not get the answer you want, but you'll get something.
I'll get answers.
And don't drive like my brother.
Ah, I understand. Well, listen, I want to thank you for having us on.
It's been great.
Absolutely.
And we'll do this some more. You've long been part of the Speakeasy family, so Bob, you've been inducted now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Into the Hall of Infamy.
You're part of the family now.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well,
you may come to regret that, but
it'll look like flypaper. It sticks.
Yeah, well, that's fine by me.
Guys, thanks for being on.
Indeed.
Thank you very much.
This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming at you from 103.5 FM with my co-host, John Paul McClellan. We had on today Bob Crowley and John Demers of the independent film scene. Pleasure.
Say that again.
Pleasure having you guys on. This is Claudio saying until next time. Cheers.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea. As the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me. and I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with the song of my heart, and the song of my heart with the voice of my soul. Adrift, 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 drifting ever back.